Lord. All right, Wednesday, 8/14/24. Teaching called Clear to Hear. All right. We're going to look at a reason for fasting tonight. You know, the world goes after all the fasting. It's always for a physical reason. But it's not really a physical reason. It's a biblical reason, fasting is. And so we're going to look at that spiritual reason. All right. Fasting does not change God. Let's get that there. God doesn't change. We know he changed his mind in the scriptures when people repent, but he doesn't change it. His mind is what the scripture says. But what does fasting do? It changes you. That's the purpose of fasting. It brings your appetites under control and makes what the Spirit is saying clearer. Starve the flesh and fuel your faith. So when you need to, you need to hear from God. And I know biblically, mostly it's talking about food, but in the day that we live in, they didn't have cell phones and computers and went on the internet all the time and all that kind of stuff. And so anything that is clouding your hearing, I would consider you could fast certain things. Not always just food, and it's not always a, what do they call it? Not a fast of everything, like food and water. I always heard you were never supposed to go without water for, you know, in 3 days. Don't ever go 3 days without water. You could go longer without food. Maybe not a complete fast. Sometimes it may just be a partial fast. It may be just one thing the Lord tells you to do. Like for me, he told me to cut my food consumption, and what I thought I wanted, cut it in half, is what he said to me. Because I've been going through coming on close to a year that I've been walking through a certain situation that I have needed to hear. And so, especially the last few months. So I have, I can't say I've been completely, I didn't just stop everything, just tried not to, even though I wanted it, say no, I'll wait till you're hungry. You can consider that like a partial fast. Brother Hagin called it the fasting lifestyle. So the fasting lifestyle consists of just telling your body no. You eat because you're hungry. Not just because you want something. You're not feeling good, so you eat that whole half of chocolate pie. You know how we are. Yeah. All right. I see Jackie smiling. She knows what I'm talking about. All right. Or half of that Whitman sampler. Or half a gallon of ice cream. What does that do? It gives the flesh supremacy. So when you're needing answers from God, you need that flesh to be under, not over. Okay. All right. Jesus had a situation when his disciples were trying to cast out a devil out of a child, and this is what he said about it, and we're going to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 17. I don't know anybody who likes fasting. But it's necessary. We're going to start with verse 14 there. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So they had an hindrance to their faith. If you look at this in context to what Jesus said. So there's times where you need your faith strong. So something's got to come under, right? The flesh. The flesh. That's always the problem, isn't it? Yeah. Right here, prayer means worship. When I was looking into the prophetic and apostolic ministries of some others, especially one that's an intercessor, a woman, Cindy Jacob, one of their things that was utmost before they'd go into an area or do anything, you know, talking about coming against strongholds and things, they'd have a warrior worship service. I mean, we're talking, it might be hours. They would praise and worship God and they'd get instructions. See, we don't just do this like we're talking about, you know, casting out devils. It's by the finger of God. It's not by what we think. That's why we've been in churches all our lives where we saw a bunch of laying, you know, like I said about the laying empty hands on empty heads because nobody had any power. They just did it because, well, it says I'm supposed to do it, so I'm going to do it, but nobody ever gets helped. Or it's not a lasting thing. No, they get instructions. Where to go? Here's your battle strategy. The general is giving the battle strategy to go in and take these demonic forces out. But they didn't just go in. They went to their knees and they worshiped God and they let the Holy Spirit tell them what they were to do. All right. The word fasting there means abstinence, and this says lack of food. Yeah. Let's look at a couple other scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6, 5. This is Paul. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. So I figure it was probably something that they, because like, you know, I didn't put this down, I don't think, in my teaching, but the seven sons of Sceva just mimicked what they did. See, they cast out the demon. And these seven sons of Sceva went in and they said, well, we'd hear you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. The devil said, I know Paul, but who are you? And it said he beat them up and they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Why? Because they did not qualify. They didn't go God's way. They didn't hear from God. They didn't realize this isn't just something you just go around doing because you're liable to get yourself beat up. I mean, in this same book, they're talked about people that one woman, she had an attack come against her and they thought they was going to have to call an ambulance. So this isn't fun and games we're playing here. This is stuff that we have to hear from the Spirit about. And, you know, when you hear from the Spirit and you follow the Spirit's instructions, then there's going to be lasting results. Kind of scary, isn't it, to think about it? How flippantly we've used things and done things and not realized it. All right, 2 Corinthians 11, 27. Right here, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So Paul, he was not unaccustomed to it. But that's what part of his call was, right? Back in that day, they did not have all the distractions that we have. And, you know, you think about, I'm sure the enemy came up with plenty of other distractions. But today, we have all kinds of distractions. Because isn't it easier when you're feeling down or something to go comfort yourself other than praying and fasting? Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Okay. All right. This is not long tonight, but it's good. All right. Sometimes you have to make a decision. If you want to hear from God, are you willing to lay aside things that you enjoy doing to do so? I know back in, 2015, we had ridden motorcycles for like 10 years. Now, I have to say it's the best, funnest thing I've ever done. I enjoyed it so much. But the Lord called us to prayer. Whenever we saw homosexual marriage pass in the Supreme Court, it was like a slap in the face. And we sold our motorcycles and we came aside and we started, you know, making confessions and proclaiming over our nation. That in itself is a fast. We've decided to fast what pleasured us. Well, Jesus said, you know, you're going to probably give up houses and lands and all kinds of things for the kingdom of God's sake. But you're going to receive a reward for it in this life, but it said with persecutions. Well, I'm sure that persecution is the devil. This is just the reality of the matter. People don't understand. You know, they probably think we're kind of weird. We've just fallen off the scene. No, we've been recruited into the military. We're in the Lord's army. This is a serious time. You can go run and play if you want to, but we live in serious times. All right. Isaiah 40. I'm going to read that in Amplified. Touched on this, I think, last week. It's just all part of it. Because we have to be clear to hear. All right, this is 40. We're going to start with 29. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. I see this as a pull on the side. I've told you before, you can't mount up if you haven't gotten before God and gotten instructions, can you? How can you mount up to battle when you've not gotten the battle plan? Put that here. Yes, I need it. All right. I'm gonna read Brother Hagin again. This is August 9th, Faith Food. Keep this in context with the last few weeks about learning to follow the Spirit and things. This is waiting on God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Except for that one time when I got fleeced, I never missed it when I made a change in churches or ministry. What did you go by, a fleece? No, I went by what the inward witness said. If I had to, I would wait a while before God. If I had to, I would wait all night long, or I might fast a day or so. Not that fasting will change God. It won't. God never changes. He's the same before I fast, while I fast, and after I fast. But fasting changes me. The time I would have spent eating, I prayed and waited on God. I would spend more time in the Word. Then my spirit man would become dominant. See, this is about the inner walk. What most Christians do not probably comprehend, maybe a few do, is that it's never been about an outside institution and outside works. It's always been about the inner life. Why do you think he came out of the box and come to live in you? Because it's about the inner life. Working on the inner life. That's what this, you read these epistles especially, that's what it's talking about. You learning about who is in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I waited until I knew on the inside of me what God wanted me to do, and I never got fleeced again. You know how valuable this is for someone who learns it? All right. This is August 10th. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I knew a man down in East Texas whose family was so poor they didn't have a pair of shoes until, or he didn't have a pair of shoes until he was 12 years old. He had only a fifth grade education, but way back when money was money, he had $2 million. He made his money in investments. Two people who had been frequent guests in his home told me that he had said in many years of investing, I've never lost a dime. Here's how he did it. He told my friend, when someone comes with an idea and wants me to invest in something, my first reaction is mental. So I have a big closet I go into and pray about it. I wait long enough to hear what my spirit says. My head may say, you'd be a fool to invest in that. But if my heart says, go ahead, I do. Or my head may say, you'd better get in on this one, while my heart tells me, don't do it. So I don't. I don't pay any attention to my head. I get in that closet and wait all night sometimes. And sometimes I'm in and out of it for 3 days, just praying and reading my Bible, being quiet so I can hear what my heart says. Very simple, but very profound. All right. Before an assignment, we must get the instructions. If you have not done the inner work, you will not be equipped to mount up or do the outer work. We don't want to be casualties. With clear instructions, you can mount up and be a complete success in your assignment. And you expect to be graced in what you do. It's kind of like with Paul and their apostolic team. They go in one area and the Holy Spirit say, no, don't go there. And then he had a dream. The man from Macedonia said, come over here and help us. And the Lord said, go to Macedonia. I mean, it sounded like a good place to be. And you can reason in your head. But we're not led by our head, but by our heart. Okay. This is a Holy Ghost operation. I want to show you a Holy Ghost operation. This is Acts chapter 10. You know what? If we could just get through the heads of pastors to teach this to their congregations, you talk about some powerhouse churches. We don't just live by the seat of our pants. All right, Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Let me just say this right quick. The Holy Spirit said something to me because he showed me something that was a little disturbing. And I said, Lord, why'd you show that to me? He said, because I want you to know that my operations are not just one person. They are a group of people that have to line up. You understand? They'll line up and they'll hook up and they'll obey God and they'll do, because God has a plan and he's got people all along the way to help with that plan. And when someone doesn't do their part, it messes the operation up. Or it can. God's not happy with that. But we're not in this alone. We may think so because we've been isolated and we've been where we've been. But don't think for a minute that God does not have a plan all lined out and he's got people all along the way where we're going to hook up with us and get going, doing what we need to do. As much as it's been the other way, it'll be the other way. You know what I mean by that? Like I'm just isolated here, not feeling like I've done anything, and oh, it's just taking so long. And then when finally, when the day comes that you're released to do what you need to do, it'll go bam, 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 bam. And that's the way God wants you to do it. By His instruction, by His leading, by people saying, well, Lord woke me up in the night and told me to do this for you, or who knows how it's going to be. Anyway, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. He said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of the of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto him without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what manner ye have sent me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well known that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye now, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, he was led by the Spirit. And we are all witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whatsoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So God, this was a God operation. He had to have people that would obey him for it to come to pass. Peter, Cornelius. See, that's how it happens with a God operation. All right. Fasting is an humbling of the flesh. Cornelius was fasting. Peter was fasting. He was hungry, but he fell asleep and fell into a trance. All right. I'm going to look at a few scriptures on fasting, but I think you get the gist of what I'm talking about today. When you need an answer, I mean, you really need an answer, and sometimes you really need an answer. That's when you have to come aside, pull aside, and say, I'm not watching that tonight, or I'm not doing that tonight, or I'm not eating that tonight. I'm not telling anybody what they ought to do. I'm just saying sometimes you just have to pull aside. And I think when you do that, the Lord's saying, they care about what I have to say more than that. Mm-hmm. I know I've made a decision. About 7 o'clock every night, I head to the bedroom. I don't listen to anything. More 99.9% of the time, I don't listen to anything. I go back there until about 9. I pray in the spirit because I want to hear. I decided to do that. Instead of just sitting all night and listening to podcasters or whatever, I thought, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to hear from God. I need to hear from God. All right. Psalms 35:13. That's not right. So hold on, 13, not 14. All right. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. This is very, very much through the old covenant, as well as the new. Psalm 69, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach, which I don't know why it would be, but anyway. But just think about that. He chastened his soul with fasting. Okay, 109:24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. You want to be a lean, mean fighting machine? Be a person that fasts. All right, go to Daniel. This is Daniel chapter 10. This is just one time that Daniel fasted, but he fasted a lot. His nation was in captivity, much like ours has been. They were captive under Babylon, like we have been. All right, verse 1 there. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he understood and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. In other words, I'm thinking pleasant bread might be sweets, you know, of some kind. Neither came flesh, no steak, nor wine into my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In other words, he came aside from normal things that he would do. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as it was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and beheld a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God. How did he chasten himself before God? Fasted. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Do you see the connection through the demonic oppression and fasting? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Yeah. You know, I think even in the New Covenant, Paul had went through a lot of things. I think he was a man that fasted quite often. He said he did fasting. But he also said, in my weakness, he's made strong. That wasn't just from adversity. I believe that was probably from fasting. Okay. Joel chapter 2. It's going to be close to the back there. Doesn't see a lot of daylight back there. We're going to start with verse 1 there. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and as horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. This sounds like Revelation, doesn't it? And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? I believe this is where we are. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Just think about if the whole body of Christ would humble themselves and begin to fast before the Lord, what would the Lord do? I know those that there are those that are. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive them into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show signs and wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, for the great and terrible day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now we know that Peter said that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. But we also see that about the remnant in the book of Revelation. Yeah. Second Chronicles. This is just one scripture in Second Chronicles. Y'all know this one. I know there's been different ones that have called out about repentance, you know, about God's people. Judgment begins in the house of God first. All right, this is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, I want to say who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, I think about it, maybe people are Christians aren't evil, but maybe they've just gone about their business and they haven't paid attention. That they need a stirring in their souls of the times that we live in. One more, Micah 6:8. Micah's back here where the sun don't shine too. just read verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. In my opinion, if we just as a nation humble ourselves before God. All right, humbly, it means depress, prostrate, bow down, fall down flat, reverence and worship before the Lord. Spend some time putting aside the things of the world and bowing before the Lord with earnest. Like I said, I'm sure there have been those that have done that. But if we do it as a nation, and then think about the world. There's many nations in the world that are Christian. There are. Russia's one of them. I mean, they've been made to be the big bad boogeyman. That's what they did to them. But they have always been that had that leaning. In fact, they came to the aid of the United States during the Civil War. Russia. Now you see why the deep state wanted to demonize them. Try to put enmity, blame them for everything. Just like they blame Trump, their agenda. So there's a lot of Christian nations out there that want to get their nations back just like ours. So anyway, I guess that's going to do it.